Hey friend, welcome to Red Hot Mindset. Thank you for tuning in today with me. I want to know that I appreciate you and I believe in you. Today's guest has such a powerful story of overcoming much loss and having victory over it, choosing to find the positive in her circumstances and to find joy in the journey. This episode is a continuation of the 2020 Boston Marathon Qualifying Mama Conversations that I have loved doing. 2020 was a year like no other, but Jen Hansen had some devastation in 2019 leading up to this unpredictable year. I'm thankful she was willing to share with us some of that time and how she made it through. I think it will be an encouragement for you today, just like it was for me. I found myself getting emotional right along with her as she poured out her heart for us. Jennifer Hansen loves God, her husband, their four kids, and their dog, Jax. She also really loves to run. She's been blessed to be a stay-at-home mom for the past 16 years. Their children are ages 17, 15, 12, and 11, and you will often find her in a Suburban driving their kids to their sports and activities. She's their biggest fan and loves to watch them compete on game day or meet day. She also enjoys working alongside her husband in a few areas of their distribution company. Running has become what Jen chooses to do with her free time. The run is her place to pray, reflect, plan her day, even socialize, and just become a better version of herself. Are you ready to dive in? Let's chat. Welcome to Red Hot Mindset. I'm your host, Gabe Cox, and through this podcast, I'm on a mission to help you step into the fire of refinement so God can mold and transform you into a woman ready to step into your calling and crush your goals His way. I do this by helping you overcome your mental barriers through a faith-based approach of building inner strength and resilience. Each episode, I will bring you thought process, productivity tips, and inspirational stories from everyday people, all so you can live intentionally and move forward confidently with the gifts God has given you. As a running enthusiast, I believe that life is one massive marathon, and it's up to you to run your own race and to finish it well. Step into the fire with me because I know you will come out stronger. Hey, Jen, welcome to Red Hot Mindset. I am so glad you're here with us today. I'm so excited to talk about running, one of my favorite things.
Thanks for having me, Gabe. I just feel so blessed that you are giving me this opportunity because I also love to talk about running.
Yes, I know. And I love how we got connected because I interviewed Jen Bergstrom a while back, I think in like August or July, one of those two time frames. And we had such a great conversation and she talked all about her soul sisters. So I feel like I already knew you kind of. So I love that she connected you to come chat with me here because I'm excited to hear your side of the story, how you got into running, how you qualified for Boston and all the good things. But before we get started, I want you just to share a little bit about you and your family, where you come from and all those good things.
Okay. Well, I am a stay-at-home mom of four kids who are very active and busy. My husband is also busy. He has his own company that he started in the last couple years here, so he has a lot on his plate, and I try to help him as much as I can with that as well. So a lot of times you'll find me in my car driving around Monticello, Minnesota, getting my kids to all their activities and their sporting events. I am definitely their number one fan, and it is a passion of mine to see them compete and do what they love to do. So that is a huge part of my life, and what I do is take care of my family. But I also love to run, and that's, you know, the time that I have my free time, I've decided that running just makes me a better person. And so that's what I choose to do with my free time and how I like to start my day.
I love it. I love it. And your kids are a little older. You have teenagers, middle schoolers, elementary too. Do you have one elementary?
Yes, I have one left in elementary. Okay. And then I also have a middle schooler. And then I have two this year in high school. I have a junior and a freshman. So, and they all do different things. They all, my son is a runner and a swimmer. My oldest daughter plays hockey and soccer. My middle school daughter is in gymnastics and soccer. And then my youngest, she plays soccer, and she just decided she's going to give basketball a try this year. So we are running in all different directions, and it keeps us on our toes, that's for sure.
I can imagine. I know that's one of the things that you had mentioned, is that sometimes one of the struggles is the fact that you have so much going on and so many different activities to get to. What does your week look like with running kids around? I can imagine, because mine are mostly in the same sport, so they have the same time, and it's really easy when you have, even in the same sport, like if they're both in soccer, they're different times, you know. So what does that normally look like for you?
Well, you know, I'm very blessed that my husband is so involved and so helpful, and us owning our own business does definitely help. It gives him some flexibility to help out. But there are often times when I am like, everything is down to the second to make it all work. You know, one person needs to be dropped off at a certain time for soccer, and then the other person is over in a town 10 miles away, and she needs to be dropped off at the exact same time. And it's like, how do you do that? How do you be in two places at one time?
Right.
So my kids have definitely learned to be patient, you know, through that. And we make it work. It's not relaxing. it's definitely a challenge to make it all work, but we do make it work. And the kids do appreciate that as well. So.
Yeah. I love that. I love that you can be so involved too. So that's the one thing I want to be, that my kid's number one cheerleader too. I want to be there at all the things, and practices. I'm like, I could care less, but I want to see them in action and see what they're learning and how they're growing. And I love that you're able to do that too. Now when it comes to your schedule, when do you run? Do you get up early? Do you run while they're in school?
Yes. I typically run when they're in school. And a lot of that, has to do with, I don't have a treadmill, at home. So I do a majority of my running outside. And so it's just, you know, sometimes I like it when the sun is out. I don't like to go out in the dark necessarily unless I'm meeting a friend. That's a good flow for our day, is get up, get the kids ready. And my elementary student this year is in school every day. So once I get her to school, then I typically will have my running clothes on and I can go out for my daily run. I try to run about 5 days a week, and that's how I like to start my day. I like to just kind of I start my day off with a prayer on the run, and then think about, okay, what do I have to do today? How is that all going to work? How am I going to fit it all in? Mm-hmm. And where I need to be at each certain time. And so it my day flows better when I start it that way. So I usually don't like to wait until the afternoon to get that run in. I like to just make that a priority and get that taken care of right away in the morning.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm totally
not too early.
Not too early. I know. I am not a night run. Like, I don't run in the dark either. I have in the past. But it is a little bit unnerving because of, you know, everything going on in the world and just safety measures. And also, I mean, safety measures, yes. You can't see what's on the ground, especially in the winter in Minnesota.
Right. Right.
I haven't run out in Colorado yet. Probably by the time this podcast is gone, I've had a wonderful winter running outside, but I'm like you, I don't have a treadmill. I got to do it outside. But I think it's really neat to start the morning. And I know you had said you kind of start with a prayer. And I honestly feel like it's an extension to my quiet time, because I get up early before I bring the boys to gymnastics and everywhere they got to go. And I get to have my quiet time and read the word and all of these things in journal. But then I feel like I really hear God when I'm running. Like, I really feel like that's my time, though I am listening to podcasts or running with friends and stuff. But it is the time where I feel like I have revelations, or I just really hear from him. Do you ever feel like that when you're running?
Yeah. It's like, oh, you know, like all of a sudden something will be weighing on me, you know, for a time, and then I'll be on a run, and it comes together, and it's like, oh wow, that, you know, that's what you're trying to teach me, or that's what you're trying to tell me, or how you want me to handle a particular situation. So absolutely, 100%, because there aren't distractions, you know, and if you are listening to a podcast or music, you can turn that off. And you're just out there in nature and in the world, you know, that he created. And yes, he speaks much clearer out there on my run. So
yeah, mm-hmm. I love it.
I agree with you.
It's one of my favorite things about running. And I want to talk about kind of how you got into running in the first place too, and why you do it. So this is a good segment into it. So what got you into it? Have you always been a runner? Did you start, I think maybe when you were having kids, I think you started.
Yeah. So I always had like a desire to run, but I just never did it. I just never joined the cross country team in high school. I was involved in other sports though, but there was just something about running that I was always drawn to. Mm-hmm. And, then I saw that my soul sister, one of my soul sisters, Sherry, who is Jenny Bergstrom's sister-in-law, was going to start running, and she was going to run a 5K. And I just thought, that is so cool. I've always wanted to do something like that. So, but I was expecting a baby at the time. So I was like, this isn't the time to start. But then after, I had Braylon, my youngest, probably winter of 2010.
Okay.
I asked Sherry if I could, train for the March Madness 5K, the little local 5K in town, if I could train with her for that. And of course, that was something she was excited about as well. And we just became soul sisters. We ran together. We supported each other as far as watching each other's kids so the other one could go out and run. And so it was shortly after having my fourth baby that I actually finally put into action something that I had desired to do for such a long time in my life. And, like you said, your running is an extension of your quiet time. And that's what I think it became for me. Like, being a stay-at-home mom is kind of chaos sometimes, especially when the kids are little and they're not at school. And so it was just a nice quiet time for me to be able to just regroup. And back then too, it also helped me to plan my days out, even though I was running much shorter distances then, cause we started out at such short distance, with the 5K. So we were running just a few miles at a time, and gradually working our way up, obviously, to marathoning. So
yeah,
that's how I got started.
Okay.
Is a good influence by my friend Sherry.
I love it. I love those influences. It's good peer pressure, right?
Yes, good peer pressure.
Association. Association is so important, but I like that good peer pressure. Like, you can do that. I know
that.
And kind of just pushing you into that. And I love that you've always kind of desired it, but maybe just didn't really know how to get it in or how to start. And then you had that friend who was like, I'll do it with you. And I think it's really important to have. Now, it took you a while before you ran your first marathon. I think you've been running for about 5 years. Does that sound about right?
Yes, that sounds right.
Yeah. What made you decide to get on the bandwagon? Was it something you just wanted to do one, something you've kind of thought about for a long time?
Well, again, it was our soul sister, Sherry, that said, you know what, I'm signing up. I think she had actually already signed up and registered for the Twin Cities Marathon in 2015. And she's like, I'd really like you to come and do this with me. And I was just so impressed that she had the courage to do something like that all on her own. Now, we had ran several 5Ks, 10Ks. We had done, I'm not sure how many half marathons by that point, but we had experienced up to like the half marathon, which I thought was an incredible amount of mileage. And so when she came to me, I was so impressed with the fact that she just, was so positive that she could accomplish finishing a marathon. And so I'm sure I thought about it for a while, because that's what I do. I don't make a quick decision. And, but it ultimately in the end, I decided to take the plunge and register for that marathon with her. And then it was in that time that I met, or got closer to Jenny Bergstrom, who is Sherry's sister-in-law. And so we had ran a few smaller distance races together, but we really bonded, through that marathon experience. And that's where we, I think, became soul sisters, because it's pretty special to complete your first marathon And then to have two strong women, you know, by your side doing that is pretty, pretty cool. I'm very blessed.
Yeah, I love it. And I think for those who are runners will understand this, but if you're not a runner listening to this, there's something special about that bond, like your BRFs, your best running friends or whatnot, because they just get you in a different way, because running is such a part of our lives. It's not our life. Like I always say, running is not my life. If that's my life, then I have an idol, right? But it is a part of my life and it makes me who I am. And it helps me in all other areas of my life. And so there's just something special about it. And most people don't really understand it because what we do seems kind of crazy. I mean, we run outside in negative weather. We train for these marathons that by the end, we don't feel good. You know, it's like torture during it. We do all these training runs and we do just a lot of things as runners. And so finding that tight-knit group of people, the few friends that get you that love running too, it's really special. And that's what you found in your soul sisters.
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
It's very special. Because like you said, it isn't our life. But it makes us, a better version of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then those two strong women in my life are just there to support me. And, you know, anytime that I'm doubting myself or doubting what I'm doing, that's who I go to bounce, you know, ideas off of and to ask advice. And so, mm-hmm. Yep. Very special relationship for sure. And yeah.
I love it. So this marathon 2015, it was the Twin Cities Marathon, which is one of the biggest in Minnesota. Beautiful urban marathon. I think fall in Minnesota is the best time to run, even though it's unpredictable what the weather is going to be like. It could be beautiful. But it's got a chill and it's good. So, you finish. What was it like for you to finish? Were you like sold? What?
It was so amazing. I throughout the entire marathon, I just had so much fun. It was like one of the most fun social events I had ever been to, you know, like that's when I knew I would be doing this again is when I didn't ever not like it. Like I didn't hit a wall. I didn't, you know, want to be done. I wanted to finish that marathon and I did it with a smile on my face. I was so happy. I never felt, you know, cause I've ran 8 marathons and I've had some other experiences, but in my very first, it was just 100% all positive. And finishing it, I knew I would run another one. I couldn't wait for the next one to come along. So I was so proud of, my soul sisters for also completing it and working so hard to finish that first marathon. So I was excited for what the future held for us.
Yeah. Was it their first marathon too? So you all did it together as your first?
Yes. Yes.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Very much.
And then this idea of qualifying for the Boston Marathon comes into play. I know you all have it. So I want to hear a little bit about when did you think maybe you wanted to try for that? When did it become special for you?
Well, for me, you know, I was kind of winging this whole first marathon experience as well. Like I didn't really know much about marathoning at all, mm-hmm. Except that I had to run 26.2 miles. You know, I mean, that was, I knew that much. So I'm actually on the course running my very first marathon, Twin Cities Marathon of 2015. And I overhear a couple other girls talking about the fact that their friend was trying to BQ that day and what pace this friend of theirs needed to be at. And I just thought, what? Like, so I'm on pace to BQ. Well, at the time I didn't understand the different age cutoffs and all. Mm-hmm. Those details, but I guarantee you that Sherry and Jenny probably both knew that information, you know, but that's where, that was the, where the idea sparked for me was like halfway through my first full marathon. I was like, So I'm actually doing this challenging, hard thing right now. And I'm doing a pretty nice job of it if I'm, you know, on the pace of someone who's going to BQ. There was a lot of race left. And she, I don't know if she went on to BQ. She probably did. But that's where the idea was born, was actually in my first marathon.
I love it. And then how did it become a bigger idea? How did it become kind of a drive for you?
Well, I like to achieve a goal. And so, you know, that idea was born. I loved my marathon experience. And so naturally, I then progressed to saying, okay, the next time I run, I want to have that in mind with my training. I want to have that goal set, and I want my training to then line up with that. So then the next race that I ran was a marathon, was the Lake Wobegon Marathon in 2017. And I trained for that with Sherry, but at the time I was still really naive and, you know, like didn't really understand how you needed to mix in some slow runs and some speed work. And, you know, I just thought miles were miles. Mm-hmm. And so although I was a little bit more conscious of the fact that I wanted to BQ, and at the time, I think that my qualifying time back then was probably 3:45. So I had that in my mind, but it wasn't as detailed as it needed to be. Mm-hmm. And we went and ran the Lake Wobegon Marathon that year. And I did finish with a better time. I got a PR on that marathon, but I was off. I was like a good 8 minutes off or 7 minutes off of a BQ, but I was okay with it. You know, I knew that I could try again, you know, and that I would, that I was going to keep doing this because I loved it that much. Mm-hmm. So from there, we then, the three of us, Sherry, Jenny, and myself, ran the Mankato Marathon, in the fall of 2017. And had maybe a little bit better training plan, and came in and finished. I mean, it was a very challenging course. Mm-hmm. I personally finished about 8 seconds shy of a PR, so, but still, yeah, and still off of the BQ, obviously. So at that point, then I realized, you know, I have to do something different. If I want to get a different result, I've ran three marathons. They're all within, you know, seconds virtually of each other. If I want to get a different result, I have to do something. I have to do something different in my training. I actually found a plan that involved some speed work and some tempo runs and long runs and cross training, which I chose to do swimming. And that was for the Fargo Marathon in 2018. And that's where I finally saw a great decrease in my time. So I BQ'd. I ran that marathon in 3 hours, 43 minutes and 58 seconds. So I was so excited to then have the opportunity to say that I BQ'd and figure out then what's all involved with registering for the Boston Marathon, because there's so much, just because you BQ doesn't mean you're going to get to go out and run in Boston.
Right.
And it was a learning process. I mean, it took me all these years to learn all this information. So,
yeah, that's awesome. And I love that you just kept going. Like, you learned from each marathon. I think that's something that's really special. We learn from each one. And sometimes we feel like we're going to have the best one ever and it becomes our worst one, but we learn from it. I've had those many times. And,
absolutely.
So, and I know you went on to work toward it. Now, did you try to get into Boston for 2019?
I did. So that Fargo was in the spring. Mm-hmm. of 2018. And so then registration for Boston opened up in September for then the 2019 Boston Marathon. And so I registered, and I registered then, I'm just trying to think back, but I think it was like week two of registration because of where my time fell with, you know, with all the people who qualified with like 10 minute buffers or, you know. Mm-hmm. So I was, I didn't get in. I went through the registration process. I didn't think I would get in. So when I, you know, got the email saying, we're sorry to inform you, but you were not accepted, I wasn't surprised. It didn't, it just fueled me, you know, to go out and try it again. Because that in that little bit of time between the registration and then, you know, waiting for that email to come in to see if I was accepted, I realized how bad I really wanted to go out to Boston and run the marathon, you know? So now it was, I had met one goal of actually BQing, but now I've got another goal, and that's, I need to be fast enough to be able to actually get accepted so I can go out and run the course in Boston, the historic course in Boston.
Yes. Yes. Well, and a lot of things came into play because I think that's the year that like thousands of people were turned away, right? Because there was like a 5 minute buffer you needed.
Yes.
At that year. And then they changed the qualification time.
Right. So they did. And that reminds me, Gabe, I kind of forgot about this, but so that was in April of 2018 that I qualified up in Fargo. Mm-hmm. And then it took, you know, a little bit of time off or, you know, easy maintaining before I picked up training again for the 2018 Twin Cities Marathon in October. So I want to say a week before we ran that race in October of 2018, Boston, the BAA changed their cutoff time. And so it now became a 3 hours and 40 minutes that I needed to have to qualify to BQ. And I was a little scared because I had been training and thinking that I needed a 3:45. So 5 minutes is it's a big deal. You know, it scared me a little. So I spent a lot of time leading up in the week leading up to that marathon, talking myself into the fact that I did put the work in and convincing myself that I could actually do this, that I could BQ, even though they made it 5 minutes harder. So it was a lot of conversations with myself on those morning runs and just convincing myself that I did put the work in. I can do this. I've come very close, you know, before up in Fargo, and I've worked even harder this next training cycle, and it is possible. And so I ran my PR that day in October of 2018 at the Twin Cities Marathon. I ran a 3 hour, 37 minute and 28 second marathon, and that gave me my second BQ. And then, it was October of 2018. I had to wait 11 months to register for Boston at that time.
Did that make you nervous? Like, cause I mean, I'm sure you're anticipating it. You have a decent buffer, but you don't know cause of what happened the year before. I mean, was the waiting really hard? Cause it was almost a year of waiting.
Yeah. It was hard, but, I was able to remain, you know, calm and not get too excited, until, you know, September rolled around, and then it was like all the excitement and you know, like anytime you have a free, relaxing moment, your mind automatically goes to Boston Marathon. You know, am I going to get in? Is it fast enough? What's going to happen? So I did register, and I think I got in then by a few minutes. I mean, it was still pretty close, even though they tightened the qualifying times. It was still I still kind of squeaked in, I feel like.
Kind of squeaked in, but so good measure.
I got in, and that was, yeah. What's that?
You had a decent buffer, I think, with the, because I mean, you essentially cut almost 7 minutes off what your qualification would have been if it were the 3:45. So yes. It's pretty cool that you not only hit the BQ, which was 5 minutes faster than it was supposed to be, but you also had a good buffer, a couple minute buffer.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. So what was your initial feeling?
I was extremely excited, and it was almost like surreal. And then I started to put a lot of pressure on myself, because I've actually, looking back, I was like, I was really intimidated by the Boston course. Like, I just was trying to soak up all this information, trying to learn everything I could about it and make sure that I was training properly for the hills. And someone told me, don't forget about the downhill. You're going to want to that you do some training for that, the first part of the Boston, the first half of the marathon, which is going to be a lot of downhill. Because you want your legs fresh for the Newton Hills. So I really became, I was really intimidated by it. But it fueled me. I went out and I worked hard every day. I showed up every single day to train for Boston. It's hard to put into words, like, how I felt when it was announced to us in March that, it wasn't going to happen. It was kind of amongst a lot of other disappointments for my kids and all their sporting events that they had worked so hard for a year, and the fear that was going on with the pandemic situation. And it was like, what could happen next? And it was the news that the Boston Marathon was then going to be postponed at the time. And my kids were then disappointed too, because that was going to be a family trip. We were going to bring all the kids out and experience Boston and the marathon and just have a nice little family vacation.
Yes.
So I probably different further question here than what we were originally talking about, but
it's good because I want to talk about that a little bit too. Okay. I felt the same. I mean, the whole point of us going to Boston, I needed to experience it one more time, because I went to Boston with these plans to qualify at Boston, and that was you gotta go to experience it. Like, first time Boston, you gotta experience it. And I just wanted to go back, but I wanted to bring the kids this time and do the family vacation and do the history. Like, there's so much history there. And just have that time. And it was almost more disappointing for me that I didn't get to share in that experience with my kids than it was for me not to be able to run. Because at that point, I was coming off an injury still. Like, that breaking your ankle, it takes a long time. It's so frustrating. But I knew I was only going to be walking more than running at that point. So it wasn't going to be a race to me. It was just going to be special because of what it meant. And so I can definitely see how disappointing that is, probably not only for you, but I'm sure the kids were just so excited to be able to go experience it with you.
Yes, they were excited for, we had like a little countdown calendar going, how many days till the family vacation. And I had a friend that was going to come out with my sister, and then and my sister's boyfriend. So that was confirmed. I knew they were coming as well. And I have a sister that I just had this feeling that, she spur of the moment would maybe show up. So I kind of had that in my gut that my other sister would be out there. Well, come to find out, my mom was actually going to be traveling out with my other sister, and that would, and they were going to surprise me out there. Aww. So, so it was my kids and my husband were a little disappointed that they didn't get that trip. And then beyond that, it was also my siblings and my mom that, that didn't, you know, get that opportunity either, this year, but I'm positive that it's going to happen someday for us all. We'll get to be out there.
Oh, absolutely. And definitely deserve to get out there to see it and to run it live and have that experience. This year has been like none other, right? None of us really understood what was going to happen next. We still kind of are, it's all unpredictable, everything. But I know that 2019 was an uneasy year for you as well.
Yes.
So do you mind sharing just a little bit? Because I feel like going through, so you qualify for Boston in 2018. You have that whole year, but 2019 is a little unsettling with all the loss that you've experienced. And then 2020, which is like a different kind of loss, right? And so it's like loss after loss after loss. And tell me, share a little bit about it and tell us a little bit about how it affected your training. Was it like, did you feel like running, or was it kind of like running became an escape for you, or how did you experience running in that time?
Yeah. So, like I was on the top of the world in the fall of 2018, I qualified for Boston and I was pretty hopeful. Like you said, it was a 7-minute-ish, you know, buffer kind of in a way. And so I was on top of the world. And then in the winter of 2019, so a few months later, my grandma wasn't doing well. My grandparents had just recently moved off the family farm that they had been on and raised their family. And the farm was so very special to us. Nursing home. And they actually had been there for maybe a little over a year, but my grandma was not doing well. Her health was really starting to slip. And we did lose her in February of 2019. But I had a special moment with her. The last visit that I got to go out and see her, she wasn't awake. She was just laying in her bed. But I went over and I told her, I'm sorry, I'm going to cry. I told her that, I told her something that one of my dear best friends, had said to me when I shared with her that I was losing my grandma. And she said, oh, you know, grandmas are so special. Grandparents are so special. And you know, it's hard to, what do you say to your grandma when she's laying there and you're not making eye contact because her eyes are closed, but I knew she could hear me. And I just told her, how special she was. And I said, grandmas are so special. And growing up and being on the farm, you know, out by the farm and being able to come and visit you and, spend so much time with you out in your kitchen, in your yellow kitchen, it's so very special to me, grandma, and you're just the best. And, you know, and I just went on and I was just telling her how special she was to me in my life. And a little tear rolled out of the corner of her eye and I knew, I was like, she can hear me and she knows, and she's telling me, she's trying to tell me that, that she loves me and that she, you know, that everything's going to be okay. And so we lost her in the winter. Then in July, my aunt and uncle were on their way to visit my grandpa and go back to their hometown and take part in some summer, festivities that were going on in the town. And they were struck by a distracted driver, and my uncle was killed instantly, and my aunt was airlifted, and she didn't survive the car accident. And it was something that it was just it was really hard on us. I mean, we are just a really close knit family. This is my mom's siblings and my mom's mom, and they're just a really tight family. So it has left a hole in our hearts, that just, it can't be filled. You know, it's just that sudden loss is very, very painful. And so we're all heartbroken. And then if in November, my grandpa starts to just have some health issues. He's at this point, he's 100 years old. We did get to celebrate his 100th birthday party in August. Awesome. And I think that's kind of what he waited for. He was like, I'm going to have one last hurrah, you know? And in November, we lost my grandpa. And that was hard too, because he's the pillar of the family, you know, he's the strong superhero that we just all crowd around the kitchen table and listen to his stories. And so that was super hard too. And then the next week, 1 week later, after saying goodbye to my grandpa at his funeral, 1 week later, we had to say goodbye to my dad's brother.
This conversation was such a blessing for me today, and I hope it was for you too. Consider it joy. This stood out to me in our conversation, and as we were trying to figure out the actual passage number, I was close. But it's not James 1:8, it's James 1:2 through 4, and I want to share it with you today as we wrap up our time together. James 1:2 through 4 says, "Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." I could have talked to Jen forever, and I know this conversation was slightly longer than normal, but I didn't want to leave any of it out. It was all so, so good. I hope you heard what you needed today. And if you are one experiencing any kind of loss, my prayer for you today is that you embrace the hope you have in our Heavenly Father and allow Him to comfort you and lead you on this journey called life. Thank you for joining me today, and I look forward to our next time. In all things, I pray that you just run your race. I believe in you. Thank you so much for joining me today. I had a great time, and I hope you did too. Before we go, though, make sure you subscribe to the podcast on your favorite listening platform if you haven't already. This will make sure you have access to all future episodes so you don't miss any of them. If you resonated with this episode, please consider leaving a review on iTunes or Spotify, as reviews are an important part of growing this podcast. If you have any friends or family who you think would enjoy this podcast, be sure to take a screenshot and share it with them. And if you're not a part of the free Mindful Mamas online community, consider joining us. It's a community built to provide support, mindset, and encouragement as you develop your gifting, live intentionally, and go after your biggest goals, God's way. Head on over to www.redhotmindset.com to check out the show notes and find the link to join the community. I hope you step into the fire with me each and every episode, because I know you will come out stronger. That's all for now. Talk with you real soon. Bye, winner.